I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm Ernie's granddaughter. On behalf of the family, I'd like to start by thanking you all so much for coming here today to remember and celebrate his life. I know he'd be very touched that you all came out and gathered together with us to show your love and your support. I had a really difficult time writing this, and it's not just because it was an emotional experience for me. My grandfather was a very private man, and he didn't particularly like it when people made a big fuss about him, and I was worried that as I was writing that this wasn't really honoring his memory, because I was pretty certain that he wouldn't have wanted all of this attention. I stressed about it for a while, and then it just dawned on me, if I was really, really certain about one thing, it's that my grandfather was a selfless man. He would never have objected to something that brought comfort and joy to his family. And when I realized that, I could finally write. When I was 10 years old, I was assigned a school project to interview someone who was over the age of 50. And I thought about it for a while, and I decided that I wanted to interview my papa. And I didn't just choose him because I didn't know a lot about his early years in life. I chose him because it was really important to me that I learned more about my mom's hero. Some of what I'm going to share with you today is taken from that project. My grandfather grew up on a farm in Arizona with his mom and his dad and his two brothers. When he was little, he told me that he always had the most fun when he was playing with his brothers and the farm animals, when he was reading, or when he went out to look for little bugs in the desert. When he was a teenager, he was really excited because he got hired on a job to sweep grain into silos, and he made 50 cents an hour, and that was a big deal. At that age, he was spending a lot of his free time going to the soda fountain with his friends, but he still took any opportunity he got to keep his nose in a book. A few years later, he moved to La Sierra and went to beauty college. He had always wanted to become a hairdresser. Thank God that man had a passion for hair, because beauty school is where he met my grandmother. My granny and Papa loved going to the beach together. They loved antiquing, but they really loved spending time with family. My Papa loved my granny so dearly. During one of my last visits with my Papa, while he was battling a host of afflictions, all of his thoughts were still on my granny. He told me that he had a plan to buy her a new manicure kit. She needed one to keep in her purse because it had been years and years and years, and he said she's still using that same old one that's falling apart with the pearl clasp on the front. He said the only two really important things in that woman's purse were her lipstick and her manicure kit, and he just couldn't stand the thought that one of them was wearing out. So I promised Papa that I'd go out and make sure that I got a new one. So this is from Papa. After owning several beauty shops together and working in real estate for a time, my Papa eventually found his calling as a physical therapy assistant. His new career path wasn't just a change in jobs, though. It was a move towards something that was really important to him. It was an opportunity for him to spend his time caring for others. His love and kindness weren't just limited to his family and his patients, though. My Papa loved all God's creatures. He cared for many pets and a handful of neighborhood rescue animals over the years. And his children and his grandchildren definitely share his love for animals. It's because of my Papa that all of our pets are part of the family. My Papa was a man whose actions were living proof of a loving heart, and he raised his children to be the same way. His son followed in his footsteps and became a physical therapy assistant, and I see my Papa's nurturing spirit in my uncle every day. Watching my Uncle Mike care for my Papa during his last months, feeding him and comforting him, I came to realize just how similar they really are. Papa was really blessed to have you at his side. My mother became a nurse, and she's dedicated her life caring for others. She has Papa's strength and his resolve. And my sister and I are so blessed to be benefiting from the values that he instilled in her. He was an amazing, amazing example of the kind of man that any person would be very lucky to have as a lifelong partner. I really wish that I had told my Papa how grateful I am to him for loving my grandmother the way that he does. But he did. There is no doubt in my mind that the reason that I have an amazing father is because my Papa set the bar really high for my mom. She was raised by a wonderful man, and when she grew up, she wasn't going to settle for anything less. Papa was a man who loved deeply and always unconditionally. I'd like to share with you now a tribute that was written by my Papa's dearest friend, Joel. There are so many great qualities that come to mind when I remember Ernie. Honesty, a loving heart, and loyalty, to mention a few. But the one characteristic that I remember most comes from Romans 15:7. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Regardless of a person's baggage, be it a suitcase or a U-Haul, Ernie accepted and loved people where they were in life, not where he thought they should be. Wouldn't this world be a little better off if we all had a little Ernie in us? Thank you so much, Joel. I know that my Papa would have been touched by your words, and we're really grateful to you for your tribute, but we're also grateful to you for your longtime friendship and care for him. You probably know that my Papa was a man of few words. I'll never forget the words of wisdom he shared with me from our interview so many years ago. He said, "Be honest and sincere. Make sure you have fun and always work hard." Papa spent a great deal of time reading and listening and taking in the thoughts of others, but he spent far less time sharing his own. He was very thoughtful. He was very careful with his words, and I think it's because he knew their power. His conservative use of speech served a very valuable function. It gave great weight to those words that he did choose to share with us. When he spoke, it was always with purpose. When he spoke, it was to guide, to contribute, to encourage, but most of all, it was to love. I'm going to miss the sound of his low, calm voice. It had that soothing timbre, the grandpa voice. My papa was a man of exceptionally strong convictions, but he was never quick to anger, nor was he easily swayed by emotions. His sense of right and wrong were unwavering, and his dedication to doing and being good never faltered. He was a strong-willed man, and he did not pause when he wanted to call a spade a spade. I was the only student in my fifth grade class to present such a frank answer to the question, "What is your interview subject's view of the world today?" My papa said, "Frankly, it stinks. It's going to heck in a handbasket, and as far as I can see, it's getting more evil by the second." I think Papa was right. Growing up in the Adventist church and in a Christian home undoubtedly built the wholesome foundation that made him into the man that he became. A devoted husband, a loving father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, and a truly good man. He was just a good man. My very favorite story about my papa was one that my mom told me many years ago. Forgive me if the details are off. When my mom was very young, she asked Papa if she could go to a concert with some of her friends, but he felt it wasn't the right kind of environment for a young girl and told her that even though her friends were going, she couldn't go. My mom was upset, but he stuck to his decision because protecting his family and making the right decisions were never optional to him. While she was at home feeling inconsolable, he went out to the department store and bought her the beautiful sweater that she had wanted. He put his foot down to protect her, but it still broke his heart to see his little girl sad. My papa may not have always appeared warm and fuzzy on the outside, but that was a man whose feelings ran deep. Truly, he had a very tender heart that wept for those who were hurting, and he never left it up to someone else to mend the wounds. Above all, the things that I admired most about my grandfather were his devotion to his family and his steadfast faith in God. Even as his body betrayed him again and again, his faith always held true. In his very last moments, as he held my uncle and my father's hands, he looked to his guardian angel to guide him safely from his suffering and into peace. It's my hope that everyone who knew my papa will learn a little something from him. So as we stumble through life and all of its challenges and obstacles, may we honor his memory by loving deeply and unconditionally, being ever present for our families, and by putting all of our faith in the goodness and trustworthiness of God.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I. And exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
He knew that he was dying. And he asked me, he said, Jerry, will you preach my celebration service? And I said, Ernie, I will be blessed. And then I turned to Ernie and I said, Ernie, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you sure of that? Because if I'm going to do a funeral, I need to know the spiritual condition of the person whose funeral that I'm preaching. And for all of us here today, that's a question that each of us need to ponder. Where are you in regards to your relationship with Jesus Christ? For Ernie had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I asked him that, he shouted out, yes, I do. Jesus Christ is my Savior. So today we are here to celebrate his life. But even more important than Ernie's life, we are here to celebrate Jesus Christ. Because because Jesus Christ said to Mary and Martha after their brother had died, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." If you don't remember anything else about the service today, remember that. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate Ernie's life, for his kindness, for his love, for his compassion. And Father, our prayer today is that your Holy Spirit would bring comfort and strength and peace to this precious family and for all of us who are gathered here. Lord, Ernie left us a wonderful example of how to live the Christian life. And I pray, O Lord, that we might see Jesus in him and mimic Ernie's life because he lived Christ's life. In Christ's name we pray. Ernie's favorite book of the Bible was the Gospel of John. In fact, in Ernie's later days of his life, when his eyesight was bad, Ernie listened to the Bible all the time. He meditated upon God's Word. And I remember what a wonderful guy Ernie was when I first met him. He had that gentle spirit, that peaceful countenance. And most of all, he had perfect hair. You know, for a guy that's bald, and when Ernie came to work, his hair was always perfect. Not a hair out of place. And so, I loved him for that. This morning, as I was writing down some notes of Ernie's life, I thought about what would be the perfect description of Ernie's life. And I found it in Galatians chapter 5 when Paul writes these words. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That was Ernie Wilson. Every Tuesday at the rehab hospital, we would have a Bible study. And when I came to the hospital there in 1998, they had never had a Bible study for the staff. And so I asked administration if we could do that. And so when we started the Bible study, guess who was the first one there? Ernie. And we had one other person. So the first Bible study, we had two people. But guess what happened? Ernie began to invite his friends that he knew in the hospital. And within a few weeks, we had a packed house, not because of what I had done, but what Ernie had done by inviting his friends to come and share the Word of God. And then every Sunday when we had a worship service, I had to bring the patients to the recreation hall to have the worship service. And guess who helped me? There was Ernie right with me. In many of our conversations, I asked Ernie, I said, "Ernie, are you afraid? Are you afraid to die?" You know, many people who don't know Jesus Christ, they are afraid to die. But you know, Ernie said, "No, I'm not afraid to die. I'm welcoming that time. I'm welcoming the time where I can leave this world and go to a better world." Jesus said in John chapter 14 these words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and be with you, and there I will be with you also. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father except by me. It's already been shared that Ernie was a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, a wonderful grandfather, a wonderful great-grandfather. Sue was telling me the other day at the house that they've been married 52 years and they had never, ever had an argument. But here's what Sue said. She said, sometimes I would be talking, I would be discussing things, and I would stop for a minute, and Ernie would say, is that it? Those of you who knew Ernie knew that Ernie had a lot of medical problems. He struggled the last few years of his life. But Ernie never complained. He just kept going. He just kept pursuing. He just kept fighting the fight. And I found this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to these words about comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Why was Ernie a wonderful, wonderful physical therapist? Why was he able to comfort others? Because God had comforted him. And in turn, he showed God's love to others. What a blessed thing to be comforted by God. Like I said, Ernie was not afraid of death. Ernie welcomed death. And the gospel writer John wrote one other passage, one other book, in the book of Revelation. And listen to the words that John wrote on the Isle of Patmos as he looked into heaven. God took him and showed him heaven and showed him what it looked like. And John writes this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, I've read that passage hundreds of times. But you know, when I read it today, one word popped out of me. Then I saw. You know, Ernie hated that his eyesight was going bad. But you know, I'm convinced when he was in that hospital bed there in English Oaks, that God revealed to him heaven, and Ernie Wilson got to see heaven. If this is a Pentecostal church, we'll be shouting right now. And verse 2 says, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride attend, adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. That's our hope. That's our promise of what we have to look forward to in life. One final passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Today we are saddened because we've lost a father, a husband, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. But God has gained another thing. In conclusion, I wrote down a few things that I think we can learn from Ernie Wilson's life. Number one, Ernie had a strong, steadfast faith. Number two, Ernie kept his priorities in order. Number one was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two was his family. The third thing we learned about Ernie is that he always put the needs of others before his own. And number four, he knew where he was going when he died. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of Christ, I want to challenge you this afternoon that someday there's going to be a preacher up here preaching your funeral. What will he say? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, never, never. On behalf of the family, I want to thank you for coming today to this celebration service. Following the service, there will be a time of fellowship when you can spend time with the family, sharing Ernie's life as you comfort them today. May God be with you all.
Placed on his head, he knew that he would soon be dead. He said, did you forget me, Father? Did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King. Hallelujah. took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown and laid him in the tomb to rest his head. The holes in his hands, his feet, his side, now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 3 days went by, again they came.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for his resurrection, and the hope that that gives us, that you are able to overcome the grave. Father, I thank you for the hope that Ernie had in that, and I pray that each one of us would be ready when you return, and you call us from the ground, just like you did your son. God, I ask that you would go with us, and that you would comfort us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.